Good afternoon, everybody. We thank you for joining in today for another little devotional message. I'm with a very good friend today. This is Mr. Joe Duffy from Pennsylvania in the United States of America. I first met our brother about 4 years ago at the Congress, and we really just had a lovely bond and a kindred spirit. And Joe's over for a few days here in the province, and we love him in the Lord. And just asked Joe to give a wee word of testimony. So Joe, it's over to you, and thanks for agreeing to do this at short notice.
Sure, brother.
Thank you.
Well, it's always a blessing to think again upon how the Lord's worked in your life. It's been some number of years, 1984, since I first come to the Lord. So I was raised a Roman Catholic. I had three brothers as well. We're raised in Roman Catholic education in the school system. And parents, as far as I can remember, never went to church. We were never instructed in the home in the things of the Lord. Never had the blessed privilege of having parents who taught you the scriptures or prayed with you or prayed for you. But they sent us all in the Catholic school. And along with the elementary education, you were required to go to the church, go to the Mass on a weekly basis as well. Many points of the year, you had to go to church every day of the week. You would go on to school, take you over to the church. And that went on until I was about 12. I can still distinctly remember the Catholic Church. You know, entering into the church, statues everywhere that you can see, the walls plastered with images, the altar to the front of the church, the confessionals to the back of the church, where you supposedly went in and confessed your sins to the priest, and you just rattled off a number of so-called sins. He would give you penance. To say you would go out, say your penance, your act of contrition, your Our Fathers, your Hail Marys, and then you were supposedly forgiven of your sins, of course, which is totally unscriptural. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There was no real forgiveness of sins, for that only could come through Christ himself. It was a completely works-based religion. In fact, years later, when I came to the Lord, I remember seeing a nun who was waiting for a bus. And it took me a while to get up the courage to approach her and speak to her about Christ and the gospel. But the Lord did give an opportunity. I approached her and I asked her, could you please tell me how to get to heaven? And her exact words to me were, it's a lifelong job. You really have to work at it. Now, this is someone who supposedly is teaching young men and women about the things of the Lord. And the only message she had for me was, it's a lifelong job. You really have to work at it. Which is obviously Roman Catholicism. It works-based religion. And so I went away, having been able to give her as best as I knew then as a young convert the gospel. And quoting to her verses such as Ephesians 2:8-9 and Titus 3:5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So whether or not the Lord ever worked in her heart, I don't know. Maybe one day when we get to glory, she'll be there. But after leaving elementary school, I went on into high school, and a lot of the restrictions that were placed upon me in the elementary school were now removed. My father now left the home. And at beginning at the age of 13, I started to get involved in a life of drugs and alcohol and immorality and the things that go along with that life. As a teenager, getting involved with the drugs and the alcohol led to a life of crime, because in order to afford those things, you needed the money, and I didn't have the money. So the way that you got the money was you turned to a life of being a thief. and a burglar and those sorts of things. So it was a very corrupt teenage life that I lived. And obviously, without going into any details, I think you can sum it up with the life of the prodigal. Mm. When he went off into the far country, Scripture says he had that riotous living. And those two words basically sum up my teenage years and life in the early 20s as well. Mm. Just riotous living. Grief to my mother, who worked so hard without her husband and father in the home. Grieved my heart years later, the things that I put my dear mother through, which years later, obviously shared with her my regret and given her the gospel as well. Don't know whether she ever come to Christ when she died a couple of years ago. But never remember hearing the gospel until I was 25. I came in contact with a young man. Wasn't planning to see him or run into him. And out of the blue, he told me that I needed to be born again. Never heard John 3 before. Never heard those words from Peter when he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Had no knowledge of that scripture at all. And it was foreign to me. I didn't have any knowledge of the word of God. And so I thought, this word born again, it sounds like a cult. Sounds like something that a cult would tell their people about being born again. So I left him. I wasn't really affected by his witness. I was going to see the pastor of his church in the following week. And I thought, well, what I'll do is get this off my conscience and my mind. I'll just ask this man, where does it say in the Bible? Now, I didn't even know anything about the Bible, but I still believed the Bible was the standard, even though I had no knowledge of it. Where does it say in the Bible? If you can show me in the Bible, then I'll pay some attention to it. Where does it say in the Bible you need to be born again? Well, he took me to John 3. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I left there with, as it was, as a dog with his tail between his legs, and couldn't answer him because he showed me. And it was at that time the Lord began to move upon my heart, began to convict me of my sin. I visited the church that this fellow who had witnessed to me was attending. Don't remember being affected by the preaching of the word at all. But I very clearly remember going to bed one night just about that time. And I woke up with the television on. And I was awakened by some late night television talk show type of show. And there were two men. I don't remember who they were. All I remember is they were speaking about life and death. And the one fellow says, people don't like to talk about death because they think it's morbid. But once you die, you cannot change anything you've done in this life. And the Lord smote my heart. With powerful conviction. I don't know if I got back to sleep that night, but the Lord impressed it upon my heart that I wasn't saved. I knew I wasn't saved. I knew that if I died, I was going to hell. And the next day, I had reached out to this fellow. I said, I need to talk to the pastor. And it was that very next day that the pastor opened the Word of God and he led me to Christ. And I called upon the Lord. That next day, it was just a little apartment kitchen. I can remember like it was yesterday. And I asked the Lord to save me and to forgive me of my sin. And that was back in the summer of 1984. And the Lord, in his grace and in his mercy, saved me that day. He made me a new creature in Christ. He has led me on with him these 38 years now. By his grace, and it was some years later that I was brought into the Free Presbyterian Church there that was in Newtown Square under ministry of the Reverend John Greer. So I can think back with a grateful heart, thankful for what the Lord has done for my soul and saving me, bringing me out from the Church of Rome. Many of the fellows that I ran with in those early days, teenage years and early 20s are all now dead through a life of drugs and addiction. All, I think, I had the opportunity of giving the gospel. Whether or not any have come to Christ, I couldn't say. It'd be a thrill to see them in heaven as a result of a gospel witness. They have come to the Savior. But that's how the Lord dealt with my soul in mercy and in grace, and obviously thankful to the Lord for all that He's done for my soul in Christ and in the gospel.
Amen. Joe, thank you so much, brother. It's always lovely to hear a testimony, and just some of the things that stand out there, simple, fundamental Bible truths, the necessity of being born again. You could read about that for yourself in John's Gospel chapter 3. In fact, that's a wonderful chapter. You can read the whole chapter. And then the grace of God as well, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. It's the grace of God, His unmerited favour, that reaches down and lifts us. And it's all settled at the cross. Mention was made there of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us remission, forgiveness of sins. And our salvation is settled at the cross. And I wonder today, can I challenge you? Do you know the Saviour? Are you trusting maybe in a religious system? Or trusting in yourself? Or maybe you don't think about these things at all. So important, because we've only one life and it'll soon be passed. And someday we'll stand before our God, our Creator, and give an account. And only those who know the Saviour have any assurance of heaven and home. And we trust that the Lord will write His word upon our hearts today. And God bless you, Joe, and I will look forward to renewing fellowship with you again soon. Thanks very much, friends, for joining us, and we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.